oral history project from Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is with Mrs. Joy Willis of St. Mary's on the 20th of November 1991.
74 Hobart Street, St. Mary's. I was born on 5th of February 1926 at St. Mary's. My marital status, I'm widowed. Nationality, Australia, with three children.
So first of all, I'd like to ask you just a few questions about your family background. What kind of work did your father do?
He was a sheet metal worker at Reckitt and Coleman in Sydney.
And your mother, did she work?
No. She stayed home and looked after the house, the family, did the cooking and the shopping and all that type of thing. You know, women didn't work in those days. They did their household chores and looked after their families.
And so when you came to this area, you were actually born in this area?
Yes, I was born next door, in the house next door to here. And
lived here all your life?
I've lived here all my life, and I was virtually an only child because my brother and sister were 10 and 12 years older than I was.
And so you went to school from here, and was that far to travel?
It was about a mile or more, a little bit more. It was all bush all the way through. You used to walk through the bush, and you know, there was no fear or worry or someone was going to grab you. Or there were a couple of old men that lived in tents that were not tramps. They were. It was in the Depression. They had nowhere to live. But I was always warned, don't go near those tents. But I think they were quite honourable old men.
And you walked by yourself?
I walked by myself.
And what was the land like here? Was it a big block of land that your father's house was?
7 acres. And I think they originally intended to poultry farm it, but the foxes took half the stock one night and someone else took the other half the next night.
And you didn't have many close neighbours?
No, there was one about a quarter of a mile away and another one about the same distance up the other way. And she had a car, an old, you know, I suppose it was an old Ford of some sort. And she was always telling me as a child she was going to buy an aeroplane because they were the same to drive as a car.
She was progressive?
Yes.
And did your family have a car?
Oh, no, never had one.
So how did you get about? And you lived near the railway, of course.
Yes, a half mile walk to the station. And used to go in as a child every Saturday morning. I was taken into Sydney and went either taken to the movies or something like that, you know, an outing. I was privileged, I suppose, because there were so many children from the Depression that didn't even have a pair of shoes, but I didn't realise that.
So you were well comfortably looked after?
Well, yes, my father was in constant work. I was talking to a friend recently who was at school with me, and she was telling me that her father, they were six in her family, and she said they never knew what money was. She said until war broke out and Dad joined the army. She said we never had money, we had dole coupons. She said there was never any money in the house. And I never realised this. I used to think that I was badly done by because when I used to take my lunch to school, it was wrapped in greaseproof paper. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there was a girl who used to bring hers in a white serviette. And I used to think, badly done by, I was badly done. But there were some poor children that had them wrapped in newspaper.
Yes.
Mm. Bare feet, and they had newspaper, you know, wrapped sandwiches. Mm.
And did your parents use their garden to grow vegetables or?
No, they didn't. Oh, no. My mother was more into flowers. Oh, and she has grown all the vegetables. I don't remember. Bought all the vegetables. I don't remember growing them.
And so did she have shopping delivered from the local shops?
Yes, the butcher used to call and take an order. The grocer used to come on Thursday and take an order and bring it back on Friday with his horse and dray. And the milkman used to come twice a day. First of all in a cart, and then later on his son used to come with the milk can on the handles of a push bike, a half pint morning and night, you see, because there were no refrigerators.
You had an ice chest.
Had an ice chest, yes. We're one of the lucky ones with an ice chest. Mm.
And I don't suppose you had any electrical appliances as when you were a young child, did you?
No, we didn't get the electricity on until about the 1930, well, 39 or 40. Mm-hmm. And we didn't we had the water because my father paid to have it brought down, private line brought down the footpath.
Really?
Onto the house. We had an underground well and a tank up the top that you pumped the water up into the tank, and he had laid the water on into the laundry out the back and into the kitchen. So we had laid on water.
You didn't have a sewer, I suppose.
Oh, no.
Where was the toilet? Way up the back? Or?
Yes, out the back, yes, down the corner of the block.
So when you were a child, what did your what did you do for recreation?
Well, I had no one to play with for a long time.
There were no neighbours?
No neighbours, no, and with children anyway. I used to paint, read, sew, all those things kids do, you know, by themselves. But now they sit and they say, I've got nothing to do.
So you had to entertain yourself?
Had to entertain yourself. Later on, there were three girls came to live up the top of the hill, and we used to play together, cubby houses and things like that.
Did you have any family pets?
Yes, I had an old cattle dog that regularly had puppies, and I used to play with them. I used to plug them into the toots on them, pull them off and say, you've had enough, you go on there. And we used to have cattlemen. There was cattle sale yard down near the station. And the cattlemen used to, on this paddock here, we had a dam that my father had dug down the bottom. And they used to rest the cattle on there. And they used to wait for Prinny to have her pups, because she had lovely pups. They used to buy them for cattle dogs, to look after the cattle, you know.
And so the shopping area was very small.
It was very small. There were two grocers, there were two butchers, post office down on the highway where my mother used to walk every day to collect the mail before there was mail delivery. What else was there? There was a newspaper shop, come milk bar, come delicatessen, come anything else you like to think of down on the highway. There was a bank. Commonwealth Bank's have always been here.
And so what did you do when you left primary school? Did you go to high school locally?
I went to Penrith High School. I had to travel there by train. There was only Penrith High School, Katoomba High School, Richmond High School and Parramatta High School.
So you went to Penrith?
I went to Penrith.
Mm. And after that, did you go on to any tertiary study or to tech or anything like
that? No. I wanted to become a French teacher, actually. And I was very interested in French. And my mother, when I finished my intermediate certificate, she said to me, where do you want to work? And I thought, oh, beauty, you know, I don't have to go to school anymore.
So you worked locally?
No, I worked in the city, and during the war you were manpower and you had to go where they sent you and you couldn't leave. So I worked there from the time I left school until 1945 when you were released.
And can you remember what sort of money you earned when you first started work?
Yes, I got 19 and tenpence for the first 3 months, and then I got a rise to £1.02. I think the tuppence was the tram fare up to the station, because you couldn't have got on a tram with a pound note.
Oh, that's incredible.
I've heard of people recently that only got... Joan Rees down here only got 17 and 6 or something when she first started work.
You were on a good wage?
I was on a good wage, good thing.
And you were... Was it factory work
yes,
that you were doing?
Yes, yes, war work.
Yeah, making things, nets.
Parts for... it was STC.
Right.
Parts for radios and that type of thing.
So I suppose most of your age
communication
in the area did that sort of work.
I don't know what they did, but there was no work here except the occasional job in a shop. It had to move out of St Mary's or travel from St Mary's to get work. A few more shops in Penrith. We could go work up there if you could get it. But I didn't want to spend the rest of my life.
No.
Sydney was too good.
And when you were married, you... when was that?
1947.
Right. And you lived in your parents' home?
Yes, I lived with them, uncle, while this house was being built, which took about 4 years, 3 to 4 years or so. And by that time I had my second child.
So this is a timber house, is it?
It's timber house, but I've had cladding put on it.
Right.
I couldn't afford the upkeep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you built a timber house and it was hard to get materials?
Oh, terribly hard. You know, you couldn't get anything. You had to order it. I remember we sent in an order for tiles to Wunderlich, and they sent it back and said we could send it in another 6 months and they'd tell us whether they'd accept it then or not. That's how bad it was.
So did you have any children before you moved into your
house? Yes, I had the two of them.
Two children.
Mm-hmm. And
then you had another one after
one,
you moved
one after. Three of them were born up at Penrith Hospital.
So you planned your children, did you?
Oh. Sorry.
And... what were the medical facilities like in the area?
Well, after the war, we had two more doctors move in, but before that we had one.
When you were a child?
When I was a child, there was one doctor, and it was old Teddy Day, and his daughter then graduated, and she became a doctor too, so the two of them were in the practice. Mum had actually booked the doctor for me when she was going to have me. And she had me suddenly at home, you see.
Oh, nice.
And he came down, the doctor came down afterwards, and he said, can I see Mrs. Joyner? And Mum called out from in the bedroom, don't let him in, he's not going to hold my hand and say how are you and charge me a guinea. He said, well, can't I just come in and have a look at the baby?
And so by the time you had your children, you had them all three in the hospital?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Facilities were much better then.
Yeah. What happened if there was an emergency in the old days when you were a child?
I don't know. Oh, well, I suppose they just had to take them up to Penrith Hospital. Mm.
Nothing close.
There was an ambulance. I had the ambulance service then.
Right.
But, I know my sister had a big operation during the war, a lung operation. She had to have it dressed every second day. And she was evacuated from Prince Henry Hospital because of the war. And they had to buy, because they couldn't get petrol, and they had to buy a horse and sulky. And her husband used to take her up to Penrith Hospital by horse and sulky every second day to get the dressing and the tube cleaned out. Yes. Drain tube in it.
Where was that? Where did they live?
They lived in St Mary's,
right,
yes.
So they had to go all that way by sulky.
Yes.
And so after you were married and you moved in here, what did you have? What was it like? Was it still very sparse with as neighbours were concerned?
Oh yes. I'm trying to think. Yes, there was no one. This was all because my father owned that land. There was nothing around here. These were only built, these war service homes behind in, oh, must have been the 60s, I think.
So it was still all bush, really?
It was still all bush, yes. After the war, they did build housing commission houses up on top of the hill. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of the rot. You know, that's when the village developed from a village into a whatever it is now.
when you were a child, what was it like around here? What was the landscape like?
It was absolutely beautiful. It was over there, over the other side of the railway line, was virgin bush.
Where all the factories are now.
Where all the factories are now, which are an absolute eyesore, not aesthetic at all. And I used to have in the 50s, I used to have as many as 14 kookaburras come and sit on the clothesline twice a day to be fed. Mm. Now, if you hear a kookaburra, listen, that was a kookaburra, you know. Mm. You're quite taken aback by it.
You'd hear more trains than anything else, I suppose.
More train. Well, actually, being so close to the line, the trains, you don't hear them so much. If I'm talking to the neighbour up the back up there, you hear them further away. And the further you get, the longer you hear them.
Uh-huh.
But here they just go, you know.
So it's not so bad. Mm. And did you have electrical appliances when you were first married?
Yes, I had the iron and the jug and the toaster and a fridge by then and electric stove. Didn't have to clean the fuel stove that Mum had and used to black every Friday, you know. And gone with the candles and all that type of thing. But down during when I had my eldest child and the second one, we used to meet everybody up at the clinic, and you knew everybody in St Mary's. This was before the population swelled. And you'd go down the street shopping and you'd leave your pram, put the brake on, leave the pram outside the shop while you went in and got whatever you wanted. And you knew all the prams. You'd say, oh, look, Molly's down here today. There's Gordon in his pram. And you wouldn't dare leave your child in a pram outside anywhere now.
So that's one way the place has changed.
Oh, yes, not for the better.
Mm-hmm. And you have security here now too.
Oh, doors, windows, everything. I've even inquired into a burglar alarm. But the trouble is they can be a little bit troublesome too. We've got the keys to next door because he's got one and it's gone off twice with nobody in there.
That's a worry.
We left the keys so that we could turn it off if it does go off.
But you have had burglaries here?
Oh yes. Not a few, but I had two. We were up in Townsville and the video and some money and some jewellery and what have you. They broke the back window and got in there. And then a couple of years later I had the lawnmower taken.
From the shed,
yeah. But it's chained up and locked now.
And you've got a dog.
The lawnmower's not there. It's in the garage now. They've got to move the car out to get the lawnmower out now.
And the dog especially.
Mm.
That's a change from the days when you could go out and leave everything.
Leave the windows open, go down the street if you weren't going to be all that long, you know, go down. I used to lie down and go have a sleep in the afternoon when the children were asleep, you know, put them down. And my neighbour used to come up and she'd say to me, one of these days you're going to get raped, you will leave that front door open, won't you? And now she berates me the other way because she says, your door's always locked.
Yes. And so what did you do for shopping in the 50s? Did you still have things delivered or did you have to go to shops
yourself? No, mostly. My husband used to take me. I'd go to the clinic with the baby in the pram or stroller, and I'd do my shopping, and he'd come and pick me up and bring it all home. Yes. Yes, we were one of the top knots. Didn't have a push bike anymore.
So looking at the you went to the local school here, and did your children also go?
Went to the same school that I went to here, and then but by that time we had a high school. I went. The three of them went to St Mary's High School.
Did they walk there?
Yes.
Close enough. And did any of them go on to tertiary education?
Not university, but they did other things. The youngest one did a business course because she couldn't get a job. And the master of the tech college said to me, "This is ridiculous with the pass that you've got and you can't get in." He said, "Come and see me." And she was in the next day. And so she did that. My son has done business courses, what do you call
them?
Management courses, yes. He's got his own business now.
And what about the other one?
She's married and she's living in Townsville. And she's got two children. Don't see much of them because it's so far away and it's too hot for me up there.
Yes.
Got to go midwinter if I want to go up there.
And what about your daily routine when in the 50s? How would that have differed from your mother's daily routine, say, in the 30s,
I don't know. I did the housework. Did the washing and the ironing, which she used. But I did it the easy way. She used to have the fuel copper that she used to have to stoke up and get boiling before she put the clothes in. Because I had the washing machine and all that type of thing by then.
So you're basically doing much the same thing, but...
And easier. It's lighter. And I used to do a lot of sewing.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you make new children's clothes?
All of them, except their socks and singlets.
And your mother did the same for you, did she? Or?
Yes. Oh, excuse me.
And what about finances? Did you and your husband... pool finances, or he was the breadwinner and gave
you
housekeeping?
Yes, I didn't work. I didn't have any income.
Right. And did he give you a certain amount each week?
Yes, for the household. And he used to pay all the bills. And
right.
I got a red shop when he died.
You had to learn
how I to had to learn. I'd never written a cheque even. And the bank manager said to me, "Oh, well, you'll need a chequebook." And I said, "But I don't know how to write a cheque." And he said, "Well, I'll show you."
When did you lose your husband?
1971. Mm. And he said, "Well, I'll show you." Now, I pretty soon got on top of it, and once the house was paid, we still had a couple of years to pay on the house, and I just felt lovely to be free of debt and no encumbrances or anything.
So he managed the finances?
Oh, yes. I just managed the food side of it.
Yeah. And what about industry in the area when you were... Growing up here, I suppose there wasn't very much industry at all.
Oh, there were tanneries, and there was a cannery, one or two canneries, jam factory. What else? A lot of the men used to do what they call wood cutting. I don't know what it involved, but you used to see them with their axes on a push bike, pedalling out that way.
Cutting timber.
Mm. Yeah, he's a timber cutter, Used to buy our firewood.
Mm-hmm. What did your husband do?
He was an engineer.
Mm-hmm. He worked locally, did he?
Yes, he worked locally.
So did you have much help with the children?
No, none.
No.
He worked too long. The hours were too long.
Yeah. But you had your family nearby, so you had some sort of support.
Well, Mum died in 1953, just before my second one was born. So I really had no help at all. She did help me with the first one. But,
and you didn't have many neighbours either for help? So
no neighbours.
So you had to manage as best you could?
I had to manage. And you find out you can do it.
Did you belong to any community organisations?
No, only the school, when the children went to school, Mother's Club and PNC and high school PNC. That was it. I'm not a club.
No.
My name was joined by when I was born, but I'm not a joiner, you know. I'm not a people person. I'm quite happy by myself. I suppose that's encapsulated like as I was when I was a child.
You had to find your own...
That's right, and that's why I get so annoyed when these kids with all their video games and TVs and everything else that they've got, and they get bored, they've got nothing to do. It's pathetic, I think.
And so when you say you quite like being alone, when you were younger and there was no... the area was fairly open and there weren't many houses, did you ever feel lonely or isolated?
No. I used to do things like... I may find things to do. I used to think that wouldn't it be wonderful if I could juggle? And I never ever could. Or if I could... Well, alas, I used to try, but I never could. And I used to get, you know, the little tobacco tins with a hinged lid that men used to have? Mm-hmm. I used to get those and I used to put ants in them and dig a hole and bury them and leave them to see how long it had been before I dig them up and see if they were dead. And they never ever were. They must be able to live for a long, long time without seeing daylight.
Interesting. So you were doing scientific experiments.
Oh, I suppose so. Is that scientific?
And when the area started to get more built up, how did you feel about that?
Oh, I didn't mind in the first place, but then suddenly when they were right on my doorstep, I sort of resent it. Next door there, the house is... The block is too small to have a house on it. And their windows, the bathroom, toilet, bedroom window is right beside mine.
So
there's
a lack of privacy.
Yeah, and the kids turn on the radio and they talk to each other in the bathroom. You can hear them put the soap down in the rack when they have a shower. Mm. And I also, I'd love one of those domes of silence over my house, you know. If only I could get that, I'd be happy.
So
I do love peace and quiet.
So that's one of the things that you've lost, really, with suburbanisation.
Yes, that's right. But they used to have, during a war, before I was married, I used to go to them. They had dances everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we used to go, they had one down here every so often. And I used to chase them around down to Seven Hills and Parramatta and Sydney, Petersham.
Dancing was the main entertainment.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And if you were too tired to dance, you went to the movies. See all the shows that were showing around the movies.
And by comparison, what did your children do for entertainment in their early teens?
Well, they weren't given that much leeway, because by that time things had started to tighten up. I know the drugs and drink started to get into the high school just as my eldest girl was leaving in 1965. There was that blow up down here about the Purple Hearts, was it?
Oh, yeah.
And that's when she was just due to leave. It started that they couldn't have a party unless they had to have drink there. So she was monitored very carefully, and a bit strict, I suppose, I was with them.
So
but I think it's paid off.
Yes. But that was... so that was an effect of the population. population expansion.
I
really,
think it was,
that,
yes.
That in a sense, they lost a bit of freedom.
But not only that, I think it was another part of it was all this raunchy, racy music with the racy lyrics and all that sort of thing. Rock music started to come out, and I blame a lot of that on it.